Blog Talk Radio.
When it's time to party, we will party hard. And welcome to Fantasy Nation Radio Show. We are partying hard here tonight at 11:30 p.m. I don't know why we're partying, but we're doing it anyway. So the Penguins are not in the playoffs, but the Kings take game one against the New Jersey Devils tonight. We'll get to that a little later. We're going to have Josh
partying hard.
Yeah. He's partying hard right now, and he'll be calling soon whenever he's done partying. We don't know when that'll be, but he'll definitely be on at some point. He'll be talking about some of the finals here, and maybe we'll get into some topics, off-season topics about the Penguins. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Andy Hughes. I'm joined by Ashley Langua, Nick Richter, and Joe Defto. Guys, it's been a while. How are you guys all doing?
I feel like I don't even know you guys. Who are you, and why are you in my bed?
Summertime, and the living's easy. Right.
The news team has assembled as we have.
Yep.
I'm Shady. Ashley is Brian Adams. Nick is Scott Blasey, and Joe is Dimebag Daryl. So you can vote. You can vote. Who has the best name?
Defto.
That's the best one for me. But like I said, you can call in at 347-202-0344. If you'd like to talk about anything related to hockey, Anchorman, anything that you want to talk about is fair game right here on the Pens Nation Radio Show. But right now we do have Josh Yoey on the line with us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and we'll welcome him into the show. Josh, what's going on?
We're talking Anchorman tonight.
Yeah, baby.
I'm okay with
assembled.
That. We can talk Veronica Corningstone all night for all I care.
Well, Josh, it's been a little while since we've spoken. What have you been up to since the Penguins have been eliminated? I'm sure you've gone to some games and stuff like that.
Creating Jordan Staal rumors and stuff like that. But otherwise, not a whole lot. A little bit of downtime. Tomorrow morning, I'm actually driving up to Toronto for the draft combine. So I'll be up there for the weekend. But, you know, June's actually going to be a pretty big month with the draft being here in Pittsburgh. Really sounds like it's not just going to be about draft weekend, but really the whole week for anybody who loves hockey, it's going to be quite a week. The organization really has a lot of nice stuff planned. So it's looking like, you know, June 16th through the 23rd or whatever it is. For hockey fans, it's going to be a fun time in here in Pittsburgh, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward. And that reminds me, you can check out thepensnation.com. We've been doing the 30 prospects in 30 days, breaking down one prospect up until June 22nd, the first round. So check that out. But, Josh, I know you joked earlier, you're going to ask Neil Yakupov if he's worth Jordan Staal.
I won't really do that. But
I know
most people haven't seen Yakupov play. I had the pleasure to see him play a couple of times in person back in January. My colleague Rob Rossi actually went up to the All-Star game in Ottawa. I had some free time, and loser that I am, I drove to hockey rinks in Canada to watch minor league hockey, and I really wanted to see Yakupov play, and he is worth the price of admission. He's a really exciting player. I actually spoke with Scotty Bowman in January and asked him what he thought about Yakupov, and he told me he's the first player he's ever seen who reminded him of Pavel Bure, and that's not somebody you hear players get compared to very often, but he's really explosive talent, and assuming he goes to Edmonton, he's going to be an awful lot of fun to watch for the Oilers fans.
Yeah, he definitely looks like an exciting player. Seeing all the YouTube videos of him, can hit hard, has a great shot. Probably the number one overall pick. We'll see what happens, but yeah, he's been projected there. But yeah, like you said, a lot of exciting things coming up here in June, and then obviously we'll have July 1st. And hopefully you won't have to deal with Peter Svoboda this July, I would hope.
What are you talking about? I hope I do. That was one of the highlights of my life. Peter Svoboda. Just to listen to his ringtone over and over again, I mean, I have half a mind to call him right now. I mean, it's probably a little too late for him,
I guess. Call him if you want.
I don't know why we don't. We should more often, let's be honest. I mean, it's not like his numbers are hard to get.
But he's been sleeping for the second period.
Well, I would assume. Who knows where he is right now? I mean, he has a home in Montreal and a home in the Czech Republic. He's like the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. He has seasonal residences, I think. So he's all over the place. But, yeah, July 1st is right around the corner. And I don't know if – I don't think anything can match what happened on July 1st last year. Let's hope not. But it should be interesting.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a tough act to follow this past July 1st. Just a ton of stuff going on. But I'm looking forward to it. But we'll get to the current Kings take game one tonight against the Devils 2-1. 9-0 on the road. Is this the Cinderella team? Who do you think is going to win this in the end?
Well, my pick was the Kings in six, and I saw nothing tonight that will stop me from making that choice. I thought they were clearly the better team in the first two periods. The Devils really came on in the third. But they're a good team, guys. If you look at them on paper, I mean, they really shouldn't be a number eight seed. There's not many weaknesses on that roster. It's a really talented team. What they've done is pretty extraordinary. It really is. It's not just the fact that they're, what are they now, 13-2 in the playoffs, but it's the teams they've beaten. I mean, they've beaten some really, really good teams along the way. I believe they took out one of the top three seeds in the West, if I'm not mistaken. And that Phoenix team, I think, is a little better than people give it credit for, and they just made them look second rate. So it's really pretty extraordinary what they've done. You have to give them a lot of credit. They could have won that game in regulation tonight. I thought Brodeur was really, really great. I mean, he was by far the Devils' best player, but I thought the Kings outclassed them. To be honest with you guys, I thought it was kind of a boring game through two periods. I don't know if anybody else is saying that, or maybe I'm out of my mind. I didn't find the first two periods very entertaining at all. I thought the third period and overtime were pretty good, but kind of two teams feeling each other out a little bit, I guess. So hopefully the tempo will pick up a little bit in the second game, because honestly, guys, there's this perception that the Devils are this trap team like they were in the 90s, and they're really not. They are to some extent, but not like they were back then. They actually do have talent, and I think the Devils are at their best when they're actually playing more of an up-tempo game. You got Parise and Kovalchuk and Elias. There's some pretty serious talent on that team, so I would assume they might try to open it up a little bit in game two.
Josh, what's the at the end of this series, what's the better story? The eight seed barely making the playoffs, rolling through the 1-3 seeds, and becoming one of the most unlikely champions in NHL history, or Marty Brodeur potentially going out on top?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm biased toward Marty because I've had the pleasure of dealing with him many times, and I just really like him. I mean, he's just an extraordinarily likable human being, and I would really like to see him go out on top. Now, mind you, he's not going to retire after this series. I don't care if they win or whatever happens. That's what he has said, and I really think that's the case. I mean, apparently his ex-wife is getting him for an awful lot of money every year, so he's probably not quite as wealthy as you think he is. And I really think he's going to play as long as he can. But I don't know. I just, in my dealings with him, he's such of an easy character to like that I really find myself pulling for him. And honestly, I've mentioned to you guys before, I've dealt with Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, and it's kind of hard for me to really, see them with the Stanley Cup. I think I'd be against seeing that, quite honestly. They've never been – I can only base it on who I've dealt with and if I like them or not. And I got to give the edge to Marty.
Speaking of guys going out, reported earlier today that Nick Lidstrom will possibly retire at a press conference at the Joe Louis Arena this week. What are your thoughts about that, Joe? Not Joe, I'm sorry. Josh.
Call me Joe if you want. I prefer to be Josh.
What were some of your interactions with Nick Lidstrom?
Just one of the classiest people you could imagine. He was off the ice just as he appeared on the ice. The consummate gentleman. And he's just one of those rare players that you should treasure, because there will never be anybody quite like him again. I think he's one of the five best defensemen of all time. And really an extraordinary ambassador for the game. And all that stuff with the handshake nonsense came out in 2009 after the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. Remember, it wasn't Lidstrom coming out and saying any of those things. That was Chris Draper opening his mouth when it really wasn't prudent. Lidstrom, he was just class all the way. He was a real treat to deal with. And I hope he stays around the game in some capacity. He's just one of those people. It's good to have him around. I can't say enough good things about him. I hope the news isn't true. I mean, he can still play. I mean, he's obviously not in his prime anymore. He's past 40, but he's still a very, very good defenseman in this league. But, you know, if he goes out, he goes out on his own terms, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But the Red Wings will not look the same without him, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Now, you're absolutely right about him being a classy guy, too. I had the chance to sit down side by side on a small little plane from Pittsburgh up to Toronto. Somehow I got my seat beside him, and so we talked hockey for a while. But one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And it's kind of sad to see guys like that leave from their playing days, but it is good to see him hopefully in some capacity in hockey somewhere, whether it be a general manager or coach or whatever. But big hat tip to Nick Lidstrom for such an amazing career. We could see Nick Lidstrom and Tamu both in the same offseason be gone. That's a huge blow.
Yeah, it is. By the way, I've been on that plane to Toronto. There's about room for 10 people on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sit with Nick Lidstrom. I was stuck on that plane with Bob Huggins last year, and we're two rather large men. We can barely move.
Oh,
Huggy Bear.
Yes.
I bet you
Huggy
was getting Tonic City hat.
It was early in the morning. He had like 5 Egg McMuffins before we left, though. I was keeping track.
Dude, 8 whiskey sours, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Actually, he's a really cool guy. You know,
yeah,
a little different than Nick Lidstrom, I think. you know, they probably hang out with different kinds of people, I would guess. But
I'm hoping he wasn't wearing the same shorts Nick Lidstrom was wearing on that flight, because they were about as short could possibly be.
Nah, he was wearing like the same WVU pullover that he always wears, actually.
With booze and cigarettes.
I didn't know Nick Lidstrom and Bob Huggins were going to come up in the same sentence in this conversation.
No.
This is unbelievable.
You never know what to expect here on the show, I guess.
We got a lot of topics. Anchorman. We haven't gotten into the Anchorman talk yet.
No, are you excited about Anchorman 2, Josh?
I'm incredibly excited. What is the date for when it's coming out? Do we have the date? Or is it too early?
Soon enough.
I don't know.
Yeah, soon enough.
Now, that'll be a big day. I really do adore that movie. It's one of my all-time favorites. It was Will Ferrell.
There's a certain Canadian that's never seen it.
Yeah.
And she's kind of with us tonight.
Really?
Sorry. Not going to name names.
Gee, I wonder.
Brian Adams.
Canada's always a few years behind the time, so maybe they just haven't released it up there yet.
Clearly that's the issue, and I'm way up north, so you know we're even further behind.
Oh, I heard next year they're going to release dial-up internet there.
Just no respect, none. Sickening.
They're taking a VHS up by Sled Dog tomorrow just for Ashley to watch Anchorman.
I hear ET's very big in Manitoba right now, actually.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're into the country talk. Josh, how do you feel about an American captain will raise the cup this year? It'll be Dustin Brown or Zach Parise. That's pretty cool for USA Hockey, I would think, right?
Yeah, it's been a pretty darn good postseason for USA Hockey. Honestly, yeah. You talk about Dustin Brown and Parise and Ryan Callahan. Thinking about that, those American forwards in the Olympics in a couple of years, man, there's some talent and a whole lot of grit in that group. I like it a lot, and I'm certainly a big supporter of USA Hockey. And to see Jonathan Quick and all the guys we've mentioned having the postseason that they are, it's pretty exciting for me. I think the Team USA is shaping up quite nicely for Sochi, quite honestly. And I like seeing the American captain with the cup in his hands. It's going to be a great thing. And, Zach Parise is a story in and of itself. What a player he is, and who knows where he's going to end up this summer. I think it's going to be a very interesting story.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that because, obviously, free agent after this year makes $6 million this year. And, man, it's hard to say because, you know, you think about, you know, he's gone through this long run already with the – gone to the finals with the Devils, and yeah, you ever wonder if that will have any effect on it. Obviously, I think the price will go up because of that, and you wonder if his loyalty to the Devils will increase because of that as well. It's going to be interesting to see because you know teams are going to throw big bucks at him. And we saw how much money Brad Richards got, and for Zach Parise is obviously younger, much better player. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, the team I keep hearing over and over again that really is interested in him is Detroit. And with Nick Lidstrom off the books, that certainly clears up some money, assuming he does retire. That rumor has not gone away really all season. Mm-hmm. The Red Wings really covet him, and boy, would he ever fit right in with Datsyuk and Zetterberg. It certainly makes a lot of sense. I've also heard Minnesota wants to make a run at him. He went to Chattuck, of course, and has some ties in that area. So it'll be interesting, no question. I've kind of thought all along that he would probably leave. I could be wrong, but it's just so hard when you see the money they have tied up in Kovalchuk. It's going to be difficult for them to have two monster contracts like that and still keep the team together if they want to. I mean, the Penguins have been able to do it for years now, but Kovalchuk's contract's a lot longer than anyone the Penguins have had. It's going to be financially difficult for them. And Parise might like the Devils organization, but how much he really enjoys life in New Jersey. I make fun of Newark often, and for good reason, if you've ever been there. But seriously, it's just not a – and Detroit's no bowl of cherries either, quite honestly. if I was one of these players, I don't know, maybe I'm weird, I would be thinking about quality of life. I don't blame LeBron James at all. I've been to Miami and I've been to Cleveland, and I know where I'd rather live. And I think there's something to be said for that. So I don't know if that'll play a role.
It's a little tax-free money there, too.
Yeah, to take that into consideration.
Yeah,
that's right. So I don't know. It's always interesting. I find everyone makes such a big deal about trade deadline day, and of course it was a dud this year. But I always find July 1st to be a little more interesting, actually, and
I think it
could be interesting again.
It was interesting to me that you connected Parise to potentially Minnesota, because if they can't get a contract done with him and they're in a situation to where they could potentially trade his rights at the draft, New Jersey's in a situation to where, I mean, they've got two goalies that are really aging quickly, mm-hmm. and Minnesota having Josh Harding and then Matt Hackett right up the pipeline. I mean, that does, I guess, present an interesting trade partner for them if they want to trade Parise's rights and get something from him.
That's a very good point, actually. And Minnesota just, they had a good start and then they fell apart. They're just badly in need of some star power. And they really are. They actually have some decent pieces in place. But, any team could use Zach Parise, but a team like that could really use him, I think. And, I've heard their name kind of surface a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see when that happens. And who knows? It'll be exciting not only just having the draft in Pittsburgh, but all of a sudden, that's become a big day for trades, and that whole week, it seems like.
Yeah.
There's always all kinds of transactions taking place, so who knows what's going to happen that Friday night in Pittsburgh in a few weeks. But they've still got the Rick Nash situation hanging over the league, and I certainly expect him to be dealt at some time. And Parise and a lot of other big names, so who knows.
What about another big name? And Roberto Luongo, kind of on the chopping block there in Vancouver. Where do you see him going?
All the talk is Toronto. I mean, some of those rumors have been deflated, but it makes sense. Luongo's not really that good, and he's overpaid, so of course he should end up in Toronto. That's kind of how they do business.
That's like the perfect Brian Burke bait.
It does. I mean, and Luongo wants out of Vancouver, and I don't blame him. I mean, I certainly would, too. I think a divorce is necessary for Vancouver and Luongo at this point. They've got a goalie who's ready to play behind them, and last year was Vancouver's time to win the cup, and they couldn't mm-hmm. do it. And Luongo, frankly, choked under the pressure, and he needs a fresh start somewhere. But I just don't think he's that good.
Does that pressure at least subside in Toronto?
Oh, that's the thing. No, not at all. It gets much worse. I mean, that's a terrible place to play, and I don't know.
Ship him to Montreal while you're at it.
throw New York in there for good measure. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I can't wait to see what happens, because he's not somebody who handles pressure situations well, and all the teams you hear about, Toronto is the one that won't go away, and that would actually be very funny if that happened. And the thing about Luongo, it's not even that he doesn't handle pressure well. I would just suggest that he's not really that good. mean, I did a little independent off-the-record survey of Penguins players this year, asking them, you know, who the most overrated players in the league were and most underrated. Most overrated player, I asked like 15 players. I think 9 of them said Luongo, and they didn't hesitate to say it either. I mean, just no one around the league really thinks he's that good.
Do you mind telling us who the most underrated was?
You know who got a lot of votes, which is interesting? The two guys that got the most votes were Claude Giroux and Anze Kopitar. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're talking about. And this was back in November, probably. So.
Yeah. See, that whole thing with Luongo, that's kind of why I've always felt like a market for him that would be ideal would be a team like Columbus, because there really isn't any media pressure here whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
and they need goaltending desperately, and he would automatically be, you know, when you have Steve Mason.
Sure.
Right, yeah. I mean, when you have Steve Mason in there, that's what they're used to. So even if Luongo is average Luongo at best, he's still a massive upgrade to what they already have, and the fans wouldn't eat him alive for it.
Yeah,
have a bad
I
game.
Agree. I mean, he needs to have a comfortable market, and Columbus would certainly be that. So, and I'm sure that's what he has his fingers crossed for. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, yeah, if he ends up in Toronto, that just sounds like the biggest meltdown in the history of sports waiting to happen. I mean, that would not have a real good ending. And Toronto
could
has
be
made
worse.
Some...
Could be Philadelphia.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That would have been unbelievable.
What a basket case tandem. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd make Briz look stable. Yeah, it's like, isn't that like the biggest indictment of the Penguins right now? The fact that they lost to that guy? I mean, that guy was so bad, and he was so bad in the next round. It just baffles me more than a month later. I remember when the Penguins were down 3-0 and they won in the blowout in 10-3 in game 4, I said to a few people, like, I've never seen a team that was up 3-0 in a series look so vulnerable, and it was because of that guy. But,
Yeah. Well.
Sorry to bring up bad memories, guys.
Yeah, opening up old wounds.
Philly's goalie problem still remains, you know, a very, very
yep.
big deal. We'll say that.
Still got him for many, many years.
Yeah. Yes,
this is
indeed.
The part of the show where the Philadelphia fans call in and mention Paul Martin.
And, I mean, and what can anyone even say? You know, it's true. It's just, you just have to kind of take it, I guess. But, Poor Paul Martin. Like, one of the world's nicest human beings, by the way. I mean, he and McCulloch are, like, two of the nicest people I've ever dealt with. And they've just been. And McCulloch didn't even talk at a media getaway day. He was the only guy who was around that didn't talk. I've heard from some pretty good sources that he was kind of annoyed by the media taking shots, and so that's why he didn't say anything, which is very unlike him. So if you can break McCulloch and Martin, my God, maybe it is time to ship them out, because it's, I mean, you feel bad for them because they were such good players before they came here, and, well, it hasn't worked, has it?
Gosh, man.
Do you think there's any shot that we see them gone in the offseason?
Pardon?
Do you think there's any chance that we see them shipped out of town this offseason?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, again, because of the CBA, it's really hard to predict how active teams will be. But if indeed Jordan Staal is traded, and there's certainly a possibility that he will be, I don't think we can discount that. If you're Ray Shiro, you know, when you're putting a trade together, don't you have to say to, hey, Brian Burke or whoever, by the way, you're taking Paul Martin as part of this trade, or it doesn't happen. I mean, don't you have to? I mean, Ray, and I give Ray credit.
Yeah.
On the record,
put in the smallest print.
Oh, yeah. But on the record, Shiro has been very complimentary of Martin and McCulloch, as he should be. I mean, if you're going to try to trade these guys, you don't want to say, yeah, they were pretty awful this year. You know, so, and he was complimentary of them, and of course, he's the guy who signed them, so, you know, he has a lot of reasons to be complimentary of them, but, you know, not only, I mean, if they had played to their expectations for the last 2 years, it wouldn't be an issue. But the fact is they haven't, and the money they're making is really hamstringing the organization right now. It just is. You're probably going to let Jordan Staal go because you got $9 million a year tied up in these two defensemen who have just been nothing but a liability for most of their 2 years here, and Martin in particular has just been awful. And the money he makes, I think Shearer would be crazy not to at least try to get rid of him.
I also think he's very complimentary of them because he still owes them a lot of money if he can't move them. So he might be stuck with them for better or worse. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's a very real possibility. But Penguins' best bet maybe is just to find a team that needs to spend about $30 million. It's way under the cap. Florida last year was, you know, beneath the cap floor or whatever it was, and they had to spend $40 million to get to the salary cap. So they were willing to overpay for some guys. Maybe there will be a team out there like that. I don't know. But, boy, Martin and McCullough just look like – they look like broken men at the end of that series. They really did to me.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, what overall – I mean, we talked about Jordan Staal and potentially moving him. I remember Darren Dreger mentioned that if he, you know, kind of had his pick of the litter, he would consider moving – Evgeny Malkin and things like that. Do you feel like with the Penguins having so much depth in their defensive system that they would even look at moving, you know, one of their big defensive prospects in order to kind of eliminate some of the salary up front? I mean, in terms of, not in front, but on the back end, like with Mahalik and Martin, that they might have to give something up in order to get one of those contracts off the books.
You know, I do think it's possible, and I will go back to the conversation I had with Shiro. It was at the draft in Minnesota last year, right after he had drafted Joe Morrow and Scott Harrington in the first two rounds, both defensemen. And I said, Ray, you know, you've got all this defense already in the system. We were all expecting you to take a couple of forwards in the first two rounds. So, you know, what's going on? And the very first thing he said, before he even said how good these kids are going to be for the Penguins someday, the very first thing he said was, there is no better or no more tradable asset than a young defenseman. So when he comes out and says that, that tells you, yes, in the right circumstance, he would be willing to deal one of those guys. I don't think he wants to, of course. They, you know, between Dupre and Harrington and Morrow, I mean, they love those three kids. They really do. But, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if a deal is out there that's right for them, because I think the Penguins look at the next 3 or 4 years as their real window to win a championship again. So I don't think they're going to be passive when it comes to making moves right now.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the fact that, you know, if Evgeny Malkin's contract is going to be up soon, and everyone's talking about that, but so is Chris Letang's, and he's only making $3.5 million. That guy's going to want a really substantial raise, especially if Shea Weber and Ryan Suter get paid big time this offseason.
Yeah, Letang's going to be able to command $6 or $7 million a year, I would think. And,
At least.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're... Maybe he will take a little bit of a discount. I don't know. But, yeah, he's going to be able to name his price, essentially. And Fleury's contract's not too far away either. Don't forget that. And obviously Malkin, perhaps Malkin will ask for the same money as Crosby, assuming Crosby gets a deal done at some point this summer. Who knows how that will work. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that need to be signed. And if I might go back to Darren Dreger's comments about trading Malkin instead of Staal, I think we'll find that, you know, Canadians typically don't like Russians very much, so they're usually pretty quick to blame the Russian when something goes wrong.
Is this true, Ashley?
It's true. Canadians don't like Russians.
On the Penn Station radio show.
I'm just saying, I know a lot of Canadians, trust me, I know a lot of Canadians, many are my friends, and they're predisposed to just blame Russians, but you know, they just don't like them. They think they're lazy. They think every Russian who's ever played hockey is lazy. They do. And I would never trade Malkin. I think he's the best player in the league, and he's 25 years old. Why would you trade him? That's just crazy to me. Especially given Crosby's situation right now, Crosby was really good late in the year, but, you know, do you totally trust his health right now? I think it's hard to. And I love Jordan Staal, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. In a perfect world, you don't trade any of them, but if I had to pick two, I would still pick the two future Hall of Famers. That's just me.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that one. Well, Josh, we're running out of time here. Before we let you go, give us your game two prediction. Can the Kings win another one on the road?
I think the Devils rise up and win game two. They didn't play well tonight. The Kings have to lose on the road at some point, don't they? I mean, I would think so. My prediction is Kings in six, but I will go with the Devils in game two, I think. I hope. I want it to be a good series.
Yeah, as do I. All right. Well, thanks, Josh, once again, and I'm sure we'll talk to you here soon as hockey will be we're becoming a hot topic once again here in Pittsburgh with the draft. So thanks again.
You stay classy, gentlemen.
Stay classy, Lidstrom. See you, Josh.
Take care, guys.
Well, our show's over. The live feed, at least.
Look, a rainbow.
Are you suggesting Andy Hughes is on LSD tonight?
What?
You'll be on it.
Just don't take us to the pleasure town, Andy.
I'm so lost. Dimebag Daryl.
I feel like
just no respect, none. Sickening.
I figured you liked that little tribute. That's your boy.
Yeah, it is. It is, you're right. I absolutely love it. For more than one reason.
You can tell it's overtime.
Actually, where's Duncan?
Sleeping.
What?
My dog put himself in timeout, so we're just going to leave him there.
Awesome. You got a game misconduct?
Yeah, something like that.
You should just bench him like Eric Goddard.
He comes off the bench.
No, it'd be more like he comes out of the press box and take a leak.
Oh,
how did that guy ever play for the Penguins? Jeez.
He played almost every game in the championship year too, in the regular season.
It's horrible.
Hey, don't look at me. I didn't sign him.
I would sign PGA Sports Nation and 93.7 fan.
I who wouldn't?
You'd be silly not to.
It's me and three other people were retweeting that. So, get on it.
He's in high demand.
Wonder if you could get him and Connor Wellesley, a.k.a. Dad Boner, to do a show together.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys.
You guys.
So many pronouns, so little sleeves.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, anybody else feel rusty tonight?
A little bit.
WD-40.
Yeah, we just tweeted, I can't get enough Svoboda in my life.
I love having Josh on the show. He's just a great guy. Always just so candid, too.
Yeah, he's uncut.
Love it.
You get the real Josh.
The real Josh, you please stand up.
Real Slim Shady.
Similar to Slim Shady, who is apparently Andy Hughes.
Yes. Ken is Ben Folds.
He actually kind of looks like Ben Folds too, in the right.
I think he looks more like Dave Grohl. He's Dave Grohl with short hair. It's kind of creepy.
I don't see it. I'll be honest, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I'll put the side by side up. Ken has actually gotten that a couple of times from people. So.
Dave Matthews, but.
No.
Not anything now.
I need a good. Oh, man.
Plus, I wouldn't insult Kenley then. Dave Matthews.
Like him doesn't mean he sounds like him.
No, he doesn't even look like him. Dave Matthews' head is way round.
I was kidding.
He's got one round freaking melon.
He's got a head like a freaking orange.
Football head.
He's like, hey, Arnold over here. Jeez. Yeah, to find a good Ken Will photo now.
There's plenty of them. I'll pick on picture, or profile picture on Facebook in particular.
Yeah, he looked confused. I was like, wait, I'm teaching?
I'm teaching? I'm responsible?
I miss the trumpet.
Yeah. Ken. What is Ken doing anyway tonight?
You know what? It's unacceptable.
I'm in Ohio now. I'll track him down.
Ohio. Just don't murder him.
Oh, no. It looks like we're calling somebody.
We are?
yeah. Or no, is that the... No, never mind.
No, I just...
Okay, I thought a number popped up. I thought you were calling Ken for a second.
No. Why would I do that?
Why wouldn't you do that?
Aha.
Ah.
What a beard.
Yeah.
Wonder if he shaved yet.
He's still depressed.
Can't Milk know. Was a bad choice.
I still can't believe